I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure you heard it on the news how that the embassy was hit there, and Grady Pickett, you know, he's over there in that area, and so we need to pray for them. And then, of course, the Jensens, our head of our Ukraine school, of course, they've been in contact with the people there, and they're praying, and they're holding strong, so praise God. We just need to keep all of our Rhema people all over the world. We've got, in fact, Tony Cook is on his way to tomorrow, I think, to Turkey with a group of people and for a tour of the seven churches of Asia, and we need to pray for them. You know, we just need to pray for our world but there's no use to get excited. All you got to do is read the Bible. It tells you what's going to happen. Go read Ezekiel 38. I tell you, you know, it's just, we might as well just stay with who we are, what we are, believing what we believe in. In fact, my title of my message, if you want it, sometimes I give you a title, sometimes I don't, but we just call this the power of the word. Father, today as we go to your word, I thank you for the anointing of the power of God to be in this place. I thank you, Father, that there'll be open hearts and receptive ears to the word today. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I read this story several years ago. A radio preacher was preaching, and he stated that he didn't need to be in the word every day since he had spent many years studying the word. He remarked that sometimes a week goes by and he didn't even read his Bible. I want to tell you something. We never need to let that happen. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Message says that Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of the words from God's mouth." You know, we realize that Jesus used the word to defeat Satan when he was being tempted. Now, many people don't understand that the fact, actually, Jesus was living as a man, a person, being tempted by the devil, and the way he defeated him was quoting the word. That should tell us something. That's the way we defeat the enemy, by quoting the word of God. You know, there, when he went in, when he said this, and there in Matthew, you know, when the devil came against him, you know, he didn't call for a special prayer meeting. He didn't call for a 24-hour prayer chain. All he did was quote what the Word of God said. That's all he did. Now, the devil has no way of winning when you quote the Word. Daily feeding upon the Word of God is the key to victorious living. I want you to get a hold of this statement. You can't depend on the word in the bad times when you haven't fed on the word in the good times. I'm going to say that again. You can't depend on the word in the bad times if you haven't fed on the word in the good times. You know, a lot of people, everything's going good, they just sort of float along, and then the enemy comes in with some kind of a situation, a circumstance, a trial or something, and immediately they start to try quoting the word, but the word's not there because they haven't been feeding on the word. That's like somebody that's, you know, if you're working out with the weights and you lay off for a week, just a week, It is very difficult to go back and start at the same point you were when you left off. How many of y'all that lift weights know that's the truth? It's a continual everyday exercise. If you feed on the word in the good times, then you'll have what you need out of the word in the bad times. The word of God is as necessary for us to sustain our Christian life as it is for us to have oxygen to breathe. How long are you going to last if you have no oxygen to breathe? Not very long. Some people last longer than others, but not very long. You know, F.F. Bosworth said, most people feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. I've heard my dad say that many times. Of course, he is quoting Bosworth. Now, let's recognize some things about the Word of God. The Word is unchangeable. Matthew 5:18. For surely I say to you, till the heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. He's talking about the Word of God. The Message Bible says it like this: God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground under your feet. Long after the stars burn out and the earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. In fact, it says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. You can depend on the word of God. It will never lose its power. The word is the unchanging truth of God. Truth never changes. If it does, then it no longer will be truth. Come on now. You know, many people have said and predicted the demise of the Word of God, but they're gone and the Word's still here. One guy that did that was Voltaire. Yeah, if you don't know who he was a noted 18th century French philosopher. And this is what he said: it took centuries to build up Christianity, but I'll show you just how one Frenchman can destroy it within 50 years. 20 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society purchased his house for the printing of the Bible. And later it became the Paris headquarters for the British and Foreign Bible Society. Today, the Bible is still the best seller, with the entire 6-volume set of Voltaire's finest works, it sold for 90 cents. The Word will last forever. The Word is more solid than anything you can think about. Everything is changing in the world we live in. We change. Our bodies change over the years. Some of us think we can, but we can't do what we used to do. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. As all of you know, I was a fast runner, and sometimes I try to run today, and I can get up to a pretty good trot, and that's about it. You know, things change, but the Word never changes.
The Word of God is the base or the foundation upon which we survive all of the onslaughts of the enemy. Actually, when you begin to read, you realize that everything that is created was created by the words of God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You go back and you read in Genesis, God said, and it was. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. Hello? Then I like what the psalmist David said in chapter 40, verse number 2. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The rock is the word of God. Our lives are based upon the rock of the word of God. This building sets on a firm foundation. I don't know how many piers we got under this building, a bunch of them. And some of them go down as far as 35, 40 feet down. Charlie's sitting back there, he built it. When we did all of the excavation and so forth, well, these engineers said, oh, you can go down to brown shale, I think they said. Mr. Harrison, that had done a lot of our work here, he said, well, if I do it, we're going to blue shale. Because I've been drilling in this Oklahoma soil back then, I think he said 30-something years. And he said, if you don't go to blue shale, it won't last. Right back there, right over there, and right over there is a hole in the ground. I don't know, it goes down 30, 40 feet. It's 6 feet in diameter. It's got rebar in it, cages about that big around. And it's filled with concrete. This building's been here. We moved into this building, walked into this building on Sunday of Winter Bible Seminar in 1992. And you can walk around this building now, and I haven't been able to find any cracks anywhere. This building is on solid foundation. Actually, we had to take out 3 feet of topsoil. And how many of you were here and remember that what all the Broken Arrow people called it, Hagen's Mountain, right out over here? 3 feet of topsoil in a building as big as this. You realize this building is a 350-foot square. How many of you know how much 350 feet is? It's 100 yards. So that's from that corner to that corner, that corner to that corner, that corner to that corner, that corner to this, back to this corner. That's 100 yards. 3 feet of topsoil in that amount of, and that amount is a lot of soil. And then we had to bring in other soil and all kinds of stuff and mix it all up. And when they finished, and this thing, you could come out here and walk on this. They called it the pad. It was as hard as a rock. It was hard. The foundation for anything is what will either make it last or cause it to fall. Our foundation for our Christian life is the Word of God. And you either fall or rise with how much of it you put into yourself. You know, a lot of people, they always basing all their Christian life on experiences. Oh, they're always running around looking for somebody to give them a word. They want an experience. If you want an experience, get in the Word of God. It's great to have a great experience with God. It's great to have a meeting where sometimes we just let go and shout and praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that will not sustain you in the trials of life. What will sustain you in the trials of life is the Word of God that you have hid in your heart. When the trials come, you find out how much words you got. Either out of your mouth, oh my God, what are we going to do? Or out of your mouth comes, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, when you have the Word, that's what comes out. If you take a sponge and you put oil in it and you squeeze it, oil comes out. If you put water in it and squeeze it, water comes out. Whatever that sponge you put into that sponge, when it is squeezed, it comes out. When the devil puts the squeeze on you, whatever you got on the inside comes out your mouth. Either the Word, or, oh, what are we going to do? No, it's not what are we going to do. It's this is what the Word says, and this is what I'm standing on, and this is what will bring me through. You know, I say that, you know, one of my favorite sayings, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. But let me tell you what, the reason I don't quit is because I'm standing on the Word of God. And if I don't quit on the Word won't quit on me. The Word of God is full of life. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. The Word of God is life. The Word of God is health to your flesh. See, always won't try to put the spirit. No, it says flesh right here. That's the natural man. The Word is essential to our spiritual lives as food is to our physical life. Now, you making last 40, 45, 50 days without eating anything. But after a while, your body will shut down. And you can't go very long without water. You can go longer without food than you can water. We cannot afford to let one day go by that we don't immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We can't live a victorious life apart from the Word of God. Read, study, meditate on the Scripture. We receive our life from the Word of God. It is life. That's what this Scripture says. It is life to those who find them. What? The Word of God. It is health to those who find them. What? Through your flesh. John 10:10, we all know it. We quote it all the time. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who is called by the glory of God. By which means we are giving exceedingly great and precious promises. Through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here it says we've been given these promises. Where are they? Right here in the Word of God. The power comes from the Word. We're talking about when you are a partaker of the Word of God.
In fact, Peter, 1 Peter 1:23 says, it is not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Lives and abides forever. You want a victorious life? Get in the Word. I talked about it last Sunday. I talked about if you abide in me and my Word abides in you. I talked about it again on Wednesday night. I talked about it, the Word again. It is settled. Forever, the Word is settled. You know, there's a lot of things that are unsettled, but this is settled. Forever, the Word, the Bible says the Word is forever settled. God's Word, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. Now, you have to believe the Word of God, and you have to believe that there is enough power in the Word of God to perform what it says it will perform. Many people can read the Word. Some people can quote the Word. But do they really believe that that Word has the power to do what they just said? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. People quote it all the time. But do you really believe that? Come on. If you really believe that, when the crises are down and the enemy's turning up the heat, you still give your tithes and your offerings. I was taught to do that ever since I was a little boy. I remember my grandpa would come and he'd give me 50 cents and the first thing I'd do is go to Dad. I was 5 years old. I said, Dad, how much are tithes? And he'd say, that's a nickel. And so I couldn't wait for Sunday morning to put that nickel in the offering. And you know, Lynette, same way, she'd been taught that. Both of us grew up in pastors' homes, ministers' homes. We were, at one time, we hadn't been married but about a year or so. And she says to me, actually, she had already done this after, but she told me later. She said she was figuring the budget, and we had more outgo than we had income that month. And so she said that the first thought that the devil brought to her mind was, well, don't pay your tithes this week, and you can catch up next week. And she said she entertained that thought for just a moment. And then she said no. And so she paid. She wrote the check first before she wrote any other checks. And then she told me about it. And I said, well, I think that's a good idea. But you know what? And you can ask her. We finished that month. Paid all the bills. Gave her tithes. And still have $5 in the bank account. That's what we started the month when she figured out. That's what we started with. We ended up with exactly what we started with, and yet we paid all the bills. I don't know how it happened, but God did. We believe we did. See, a lot of people they quote the Word, and they want the Word to work for them, but they're not doing what the Word told them to do. Oh, yeah. My dad told me, he said, son, there's two things that the people will shut down. If you start talking about their pocketbook or talking about their kids, they'll shut down on you.
But listen, it's time that we be, hey, there's a lot of mess going on about prosperity, and if you send this, the Lord will do this. I get so disgusted about half the time on some of these telethons and things. They talk about, oh, if you do this, you'll get healed, or you'll do that. No, that ain't, maybe something, they read it, oh, this happened, this person gave this, and they got that. Well, it's not because of that. It's because when they gave, they turned their faith loose and believed God, and God honored their faith. You don't have to give an offering to get healed. You don't have to give an offering to get God's protection. Oh, I better back off of that now. We need to realize and not be taken in by just all of this junk that goes on. Some people are more interested in the finances than they are the blessing. Have you ever noticed that we don't put a lot of pressure on taking offerings? I just tell you what it is and we go. I mean, the Isaiah Project. We've been refurbishing this building. We moved in 92. We've been refurbishing this building, and we've raised $1 million, I forget what it is now. $1,500,000 over that. You know what it is. They probably put it up today. And there hadn't been one special offering. There hadn't been one asking for pledges. All I ask is, hey, the building needs to be refurbished. Give what you can extra each week. This week, 4,000 and some odd came in this week. Some weeks, 5,000 comes in. Why? Because people are just doing it. The Word of God said, you take care of my house, I'll take care of yours. People are doing what the Word says, and God's blessing here, and He's blessing you. How many of you, since you've been giving with the Isaiah Project, God's been blessing you in different ways? You can see, it don't always come back in the way of finances. Some people think it's got to come back in greenback bill. No, sometimes it'll come back to you because all of a sudden you get a super deal on something. Come on, realize. See, we got to realize that God works in different ways. It don't have to always be the same way. Well, I shouldn't have got off on that, but I did anyway. I'm not going to take it back. The Word has enough power to do what it says it will do. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of spirit, of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is full of power. It contains enough power to produce every promise that's in the book. I think years and years and years ago, used to sing a song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All His blessings of love divine. My wife, she knows all the courses, I don't. All the promises are mine. The Word of God is full of power. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Word of God is full of power. There is no power shortage with the Word. You know, sometimes the power company will say, well, ask people to reduce their usage. You know, I was thinking the other day, everybody's wanting,
them to go to electric cars, it may be a good idea. I don't know. But, they say, oh, the fuel's so expensive. So, hey, it takes money to produce electricity to charge your battery. And then besides that, if there's no electric power, you can't charge your battery. Sometimes I think people are straining, at this whenever because of this, and it's just sort of, they just sort of go around and sort of like a dog chasing its tail, never catches it. The Word of God makes a highway for God's blessing to come to you. As we look at this, everybody, I see people there on front got their regular, how many of you got your regular Bible? Or device there, your iPad or your phone? My phone's down there because I took it off. I usually have it here. I got on my phone, I don't know how many different translations I got. Look at that. That's your Bible. Say, this is my Bible. That Bible is a comfort to those that are in sorrow and grief. That Bible is a declaration of freedom to the captive. That Bible that you hold is the key to heaven's resources. That Bible is life from heaven. That Bible is love to those that are rejected and hated. That Bible is medicine to those who are sick. Did you hold it in your hand? That Bible is the message of salvation to the lost and dying. That Bible is peace for those in the storms of life. That Bible is refuge for those that are in trouble. That Bible is strength for those that are weak and tired. That Bible is victory for those that are battling in life's sea. We got to realize we are an eternal spirit living in a body, and the power to sustain that eternal spirit that lives on the inside of us is the Word of God. That's why he tells us to renew our mind with the Word of God. See, when we're born again, our spirit is recreated. But we have to do something about the mind. We are a spirit. We have a mind, and we live in a body. The Bible is salvation, healing, deliverance, provision, protection, and a whole lot more. The good news is that it's there for everyone that will use it and live the victorious life in Christ. It's there for everybody. But it's up to them whether it ever produces anything for them. It's up to each individual whether the Word of God produces a victorious life or not. It's not up to God. It's not up to anybody except you yourself. God told Joshua 1:8, not to let the book of the law depart from your mouth, But meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according as written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you might have success. What did it say? You will have. Will. That's a word that is certain. It means there is no way that it isn't going to happen. I use this illustration a lot of times, and all of you can identify with it. When Mama used to say to me, Kenneth Wayne Hagin, you will. There is no shadow of a doubt that I'm not going to do exactly what she said. Anybody been there besides me? And it's especially so. Now, if she just says Ken, but if she says Kenneth Wayne, and then puts my last name on there, when Mama used all three names, whoa, you better. Hey, even before she could get the last part of my name out of her mouth, I'm already up doing whatever I'm supposed to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, it says, if you want to make your way prosperous and have good success, you got to have the word in your mouth all the time. And you need to meditate on it. Read it. I said this last Sunday, John 15:7, he told his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Well, if it was good for disciples, then it's good for us. Because I went on to talk to you about what a disciple is. All right? The Message Bible says of John 15:7, but if you make yourself at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. If God told Joshua to keep the word of God coming out of his mouth and to study it daily, and he told the disciples to abide in him and the words abide in you, then if that is the secret of their success, it will also be the secret of our success. God expects us to make the word of God number one in our life. We are to meditate upon it daily. You are to believe the word of God, declare it with your mouth, act like the word of God is so, and enjoy the power of the word giving you exactly what it said that you could have. Have the word of God in your heart. Speak the word of God out of your mouth and watch the victory flow. Standing upon the eternal word of God, you'll find that what you need will make your life ever so great. My word is what you should live on and live by. And as you live upon and in my word, you will see that the victory will be there when you need it. You will see that provision will be there when you need it. Everything you need will be there when you need it if my word abides in you and you abide in me and the word comes out of your mouth. The devil will flee. And you'll see that there'll be great victory and there'll be shouting
and victorious living because my word has come to full fruition in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. That's not in here. Some of you might think it was. No, it's not. That's just what I heard the Spirit saying, and I just said it to you. Everybody stand. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word of God is what will sustain you in any situation that you find yourself in. Standing on the promises, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. By the living Word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. That's an old song we used to sing. I think I got it right. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. I think that's one of the verses, I think. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Letting them come out of your mouth. That's what we teach all the time. If you say, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, you'll get what you say. Isn't that what that big sign on top of this building, faith? Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it says? Mark 11:23. So as you go about every day, make sure you study the Word. And make sure you speak the Word. You see, when fear and doubt assail, all you got to do is say, I've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hallelujah.